You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Chappie, throwing, caught, Henry! Touchdown! Whoa! Porter almost had the pick, and the kick is going to be blocked. Miles Killebrew, their special teams maven, gets in there. Need two. Going deep, going for it all, and incomplete. Intended for Johnson.
Blame Canada. You can't. A go ball on fourth and two. What an absurd ending to, frankly, an absurd game. The New England Patriots get the stop late and get the win, whether they want it or not, beating the Pittsburgh Steelers at the field formerly known as Heinz, 21-18, a win that both damages Pittsburgh's playoff hopes badly and damages the Patriots' chance at the number one pick. So maybe it's one of those weird, funky situations where a game ends and both fan bases are annoyed. Dan Hans is here from my home. Mark Sessler there from his home. Mark, where to start? A strange game. Let's start here, though. They hit the over by halftime, but we didn't get much after that.
No, I mean, they hit the over because we got the best half of football offensively that the Patriots have produced. Billy Zappi, I don't like any of these quarterbacks, but Billy Zappi, arrow up on Mac Jones. And I'm looking at a Steelers team that, if anything, they've been imperfect, but they've been resilient and they keep kind of eking out wins. But in a 5-day period, you've lost to the Arizona Cardinals, who were an apparition essentially in the National Football League. And tonight to a Patriots team that, despite allowing like 10 points or less in three straight games, had lost. Tonight, they win. And it's, the Steelers to me are fading away. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that former first round pick Mitchell Trubisky, amounts to 60 yards through the air in the first half. I mean, the offense that we thought 2 games ago in that clash with the Bengals had reawakened with 400 plus yards. 2 games in a row since, we have evidence that that's not the case. And whether they're a playoff team or not in a really weird AFC, they are very flawed.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be that guy, but I was less bullish about the Steelers coming off that 400-yard game just because we'd seen so much shellac to that before that. And I'm never totally on board with just putting everything on an offensive play caller, because there's usually a lot more going on, like bad quarterback play and bad blocking and an inability for the wide receivers to make a play or show that they even care or want to be in the building. And Pittsburgh, to, you know, the 12-5 dream is over, obviously, Mark. And it's funny because a week ago we were talking about how they, and I don't really look like a 12-5 team, but the schedule sets up so well for them, they might just get there. So to drop back-to-back games to 2-win teams over the course of 4 days, I guess it does this, Mark, because we've been talking about how the Steelers aren't really passing any of the smell tests throughout the season, and yet they kept winning. Well, now they've kind of been exposed, and with the schedule now tightening up, I think even though an NFL season isn't very long, even with the added game, just 17 games each, it does have a way of filtering out the pretenders and the contenders by the end of December into January. And I think that's what's happened to the Steelers here. And on the Patriots side, yeah, you get three touchdowns from Bailey Zappe in the first half. You know, some curious play calling, I thought, down the stretch in this game, including before that. That fourth down failure by the Steelers that basically ended the game. You know, the Patriots just running the ball three times into the line, trying kind of to get a first down, but also trying to burn Pittsburgh timeouts. It's like, you're 2-10. Like, don't be so conservative. Go and win the game. And then even when the next possession after, when Pittsburgh failed on that go ball, they are inside the Pittsburgh 40-yard line, and it's 4th and inches. And you send out the punter, and it's like, just like, oh my God, this is such a stupid game that we're watching, and it just refused to die. So I'm glad it's over. And Mark, I'm sure Greg is upset about it, and all the other Patriots fans, because they now also have put themselves in the position where they might not get that top two pick. This could be a very costly win for them.
Well, I think it was mentioned on our Thursday show that there's the world where if Belichick knows he's not going to be with the Patriots next year, we don't know if he knows that. We don't know what the situation is, but maybe you go Lovie Smith and you're not trying to like lose these games. And it's like, leave the next coach without the number one overall pick. I mean, this game though, I think it's pretty much on the nose when we predicted all week long that this would be a bit of a disaster. And it turns out to be, I think there just aren't really 7 real playoff teams in the AFC. And we very well might get the Steelers in the postseason. And they're a very incomplete team. And I would say the one on top of the loss, like, I don't love like Alex Highsmith, who you've got TJ Watt, but Alex Highsmith has probably even arguably been the more productive pass rusher, leaves the game with a neck injury. There are just problems with this team. They're very incomplete. And to lose these two games the way they did, it's like, these should have been the two opportunities that propel you and inflate your record beyond what you are and take you to that potential 11-12 win scenario. And it's like, they're not that team. They're not going to do that. This is a Steelers team that's going to win about 10 games, 9 games, and float out of the playoffs if they even get there at all.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to go near the playoffs. This is a team going in the wrong direction. And I did think, you know, watching Mike Tomlin in this game that, you know, he called them JV after the Cardinals game. And I wonder what he's thinking in this game. And you could just, you know, the Acrisure fans in that building just going nuts, booing that offense out of the building in the first half. Because I think there was this, like, very quickly, because New England's offense was putting up points, surprisingly, it became clear that, whoa, this was supposed to be just like a 3.5-hour celebration here in Pittsburgh, and we were going to, you know, move right along to 8-5 and be in great position going into the home stretch of the regular season. So it kind of turns into a nightmare. I should clarify, because I just said that the Pats put themselves in a tougher situation for that draft pick. Even with the win, they still hold the number 2 overall pick as action rolls on in the NFL on Sunday at 3-10. But, you know, so Carolina, which is actually the Bears' pick, they are in very good position, the Bears, now to get the number 1 overall pick for the second straight year. They're 2 games up on everybody else. But what that win for the Patriots does, it moves them away from number 1, obviously, further. But also, all these other 3- and 4-win teams now are right in the mix for a top 3 pick. You got Arizona, Washington, Chicago, New York, Tennessee, all with 4 wins right now. So that tightens up significantly. Anything else that jumped out to you in this game?
I just don't remember a season where within like a 1-week period, you had the fans in New Orleans, who are some of the greatest fans around and loyal to the end. Same goes with Pittsburgh, both raining down boos and catcalls and annoyances in their home stadium at their own team. I mean, that's the kind of year we're in a little bit. The other thing that comes to mind is whenever they show Cam Hayward, the monstrous defensive lineman for the Steelers, that Dan, we did a broadcast boot camp with a number of NFL mm-hmm. players, and he was one of them. And, you know, we did a little, 10-minute how to do a podcast type class. And like, you know, we're just us. And like the class ended and, you know, Darren Waller and a bunch of other people marched out of the room. But like Cam Hayward came over to us and he's about 6'6", like he's just giant. And like, he's like, hey guys, so how do you do a podcast? Like, what kind of, how do you come up with your episodes? I was like,
that's a great Hayward.
But now he's doing like, I just saw him on Good Morning Football the other day. He's doing great. He does all this stuff. But it was just like, when it's weird to watch these players and be like, these are like absolute athletic feats and gigantic men. And like and he came over to us and just had this little tiny question for us. And you and I just stood there like, well, we'll see what we can do. And here we are doing a show.
Yeah, he was a really nice guy. I think, yeah. I'm trying to think in our years working at NFL media, the biggest guy ever still for me was Chris Jenkins, the old Panthers and Jets D tackle. When he walked into the old newsroom in Culver City, I remember just being aghast that a human could be that large. And also he was like super athletic, but I think he's number two on the list. Yeah. And also was super nice. You know, did the Thursday night football during the post game show, and they're like saying, stay right here. We got Bailey Zappi coming up to the dais. I'm like, oh, bully. You have Tony Gonzalez saying, they're trying to explain what's wrong with the Steelers. What happened to the Steelers? And Tony Gonzalez is saying the reason they didn't win this game is they don't have an alpha male on their team. Can we come back to us, Tony? I mean, you're one of the greatest tight ends that ever lived. You played football for your whole life. They don't need an alpha male. They need a quarterback. And it's like that is so much to do with their offensive struggles, is that inability to have somebody. And obviously Kenny Pickett is no great shakes, but Trubisky is just so inconsistent. And that's why it made it all the more puzzling with the game and potentially season on the line there at 4th and 2 near midfield. To throw a go ball there is so strange to me. And I know part of the problem is, and I think Mike Tomlin, you know, obviously has a lot of work to do to try to get this season straightened out now. And if it doesn't work out, how do we make the team better? The running game once again disappeared here. They averaged less than 3 yards a carry and 28 rushes. And I know the one thing New England kind of has going for it is that the defense still plays with a sense of dignity and pride, and they have not been pushovers, but man, that is not Pittsburgh Steelers football in any way, shape, or form.
No, but I mean, New England has led the league in, you know, allowing the least amount of points over the past 3 weeks. It continued tonight. Their defense is legit. Like, Belichick is still coaching that up. But Pittsburgh has been running the ball consistently, and that went away tonight. And it's like, Mitch Trubisky's not going to get you out of that. George Pickens like vanished this evening. And I would so argue against the concept that they lack an alpha male on that team. I mean, what is TJ Watt? What is Cam Hayward? They've got a bunch of them. They're just,
I think,
not
they're
a lot
talking
on
about
offense.
On offense. Well, just to be fair, I think he was talking about the offense, but even then, that I think we're on the same page there.
I mean, I just think that we don't, that's just not the case. You're dealing with average quarterback play. You're dealing with a quarterback that gets injured every couple of weeks. It's all over the league. Like, we've got backup quarterbacks.
I mean, by the way, an alpha male? I mean, that's what the NFL is just filled with. There's 500 alpha males. These guys are highly aggressive, physical marvels. These guys, that's not what they need. And, you know, whatever.
I'm with you.
But shout out to Zeke Elliott, who obviously stepped into a larger role here with Ramondre Stevenson out with the high ankle sprain. He has 140 total yards in this game and a touchdown. So that obviously helped the cause for New England in the first half. And his last run of note looked like it was a run for a first down in the last minute there to kill the rest of the clock. They challenged it and they ended up moving it behind and put it to third and short. And then, of course, they weren't able to make the first down and they had the silly punt and all that. But I did like the shot, Mark, and this is a good way to end this because, you know, we love us some Belichick in different ways. Bill pumping his right arm, first down, first down, first down on the sideline. So I don't know what's really going on in the old coach's mind right now. I know he's probably very embarrassed about, you know, the state of New England Patriot football at this point, but don't say he doesn't want to win or he's checked out. Bill wanted that game badly. And I think to get a primetime win in Pittsburgh, it was kind of like a little taste of the old days, the Steelers who can never beat Belichick and Brady or, hell, Bledsoe back in the day. And once again, with the Steelers desperately needing a win at Heinz Field, or the artist formerly known as Heinz Field, again, the Patriots somehow stick it to them. So I think, Bill, it probably felt good, a little whiff of nostalgia there.
I'm with you, and he did it with he's got this fashion choice going on of late where you've got a winter bonnet on with a little ball on top kind of hanging sideways off his head. It kind of looks like a, you know, a Christmas Eve drunk in a dive bar, but like, I think he's doing that on purpose too. But am I wrong? Like, that look kind of throws me. I feel like it can't be doing that intentionally.
He's like he used to be a ski instructor a long time ago in the 80s. This is in like a sleepy town in Vermont, a snow town. And now he's more in a managerial role, let's say. But he spends most of his time at the pub at the bottom of the ski slope. And that's where you could find Mr. Belichick these days. Like, one of those vibes. Like, he used to own this town, but now he's just a townie with the, what did you call it? A bonnet with a ball on top?
We can explore further, but I think that's what you'd call that hat, like a winter bonnet. With the little, you know, the bobble on top, and it's sort of hanging sideways. I don't know. Strange choice. I wouldn't walk around town with that outfit, but that's, you know, he's got a different agenda than I do.
You know what I'd like? I'd like to see Bill and Levi, your jacket. Probably have to size up a couple, but.
Yeah, I think he's not going to fit in my jacket.
I think it's time for Bill to kind of have a reinvention wherever he lands next. I know we're talking about it with Weish. And Steve was less bullish on the idea that, A, people want Bill Belichick in the modern times in football, if he was kind of a free agent, if you will. And B, whether he is, you know, that gung-ho about getting that record. I think Bill would die for that record. I get that feeling that he is going to find a way to get that record, and it's going to be one of the most important group of months in his life after this season's over and the end of the New England Patriots era, because I think this is his chance to kind of cement his legacy, and he has a big decision to make. I still think he'll have options, but we'll see. There
someone,
it is, by the way.
Someone's going to want him. I mean, I'm with you. Like that record, if he achieves it, look what had to happen for Bill Belichick to get there, how many eons it took. It may never be achieved again with the way that coaches are hired and fired so quickly now. So nab it, and maybe no one else on earth can ever achieve it again. So I'm with you.
All right, let's take a break. And when we get back, a very special guest will hit one very odd news item, and then we will have a conversation with our very special guest. Stay right there.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Oh, Mark, we don't usually use this on Thursday night. It must be special. Welcome back. Our next guest needs no introduction. She's on the Mount Rushmore of around the NFL producers, now doing the damn thing with the Rams and beyond, quite frankly. Some call her Erica Tamposi. We know her as Ricky Hollywood.
Hey.
That's our girl. That's our girl.
That is music, literally and figuratively, to my ears.
Ricky.
Hi.
This is so nice.
This is so good to see you guys, to hear you guys. We got a cat call from Mark. We got a bonnet. We've got Slopeside from Snow Vermont. Snowy. I mean, this is great. This is exactly what I needed.
Ricky, now, did I describe Belichick's hat correctly? I don't know what the name of that.
Yeah, I would just call it like a beanie with like a palm on it. But
yeah, Big Funk chimed in the comments, palm beanie, which I've never heard of.
Nor have
I. Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily call it that either. And calling Randy Big Funk, that's new to me.
Now, it must be nerve-wracking, I would think, for Funk to have one of the legendary producers in the history of our show on right now. And people who know Erica and her history with ATN know Erica is a Patriots fan, born and raised in New England.
Yes.
And I was thinking, and we ended up getting a W for the Patriots tonight, which was not expected. But the way kind of the conversation I wanted to kind of get into with you to start was, what is it like as a millennial Patriots fan, right? Like, what is your earliest Patriot memory? Let's start there, just to let people have a little context. And there's, you know, obviously millions like you.
Yeah, no, it really, really is 2001, 2000. It was the millennium. You know, no, I had an amazing 20 years with Brady. So it's.
Did you say the millennium or the willennium?
The millennium, right?
What's a willennium?
What's that?
See, you're so young, you don't get the Will Smith joke. It was an album that came out around the time. It's all good. Listen,
well, wait. What was on that one? Was that like Welcome to Miami?
No, or... I think that was on Big Willie style.
Got you.
I think this one might have had Wild Wild West on it.
Okay, it's, well, like, I'm familiar with that one.
Yeah. I mean, she's young, but Dan, you're so old. So it's.
Well, I was going to say, I qualify as a what they call a geriatric millennial, as a 1980 baby. Mark is your straight up baby boomer. So that, you know, we're covering a lot.
No, is Mark boomer? I think he's Gen X.
Absolutely not. My parents are boomers. Like, that is. So
I think you're Gen X. I think
I'm like on the edge of that too. Like, you, I don't.
Well, no.
I think you're a geriatric Xer. I think they call you guys.
That's what you say,
Ricky. Anyway, what's it like? So somebody whose formative memories start with Tom Brady's first kind of beautiful run there in 2001, and for them to be in this situation where they are right now, you know, arguably the worst team in the league or certainly perhaps in the AFC, has it been really strange? And I know you're busy with the Rams, obviously, so how closely you're following, I'm curious about that too. But what's it been like the last couple of years, but especially this year?
This year has been horrible. Like, I woke up the weekend of the bye week for the Patriots, and I was like, oh, we probably lost this week too. I watch every game that I can. Most of them I watch, pretty much everyone, unfortunately. It's tough, you know? It's hard. It's also hard to have a public sort of rooting interest now for my job too, which has been sort of...
Tell me about it.
Weird. It's been weird to maneuver that sort of aspect of things. But yeah, no, I'm still watching and hurting. And like, one of my, you know, best friends from home texted me right when the game ended, "We suck so much, we even suck at sucking when we need to suck." So that's what's going on in Pat's Nation here. So yeah.
Yeah, I have a question for you. Like, that sums up, are you ready to move on from Bill Belichick, Erica?
I like feel for him. I think there's a lot of people, especially when Brady went and won the Super Bowl, that it's like, it was Brady all along. But like, all of the other weapons, like you said, talk about an alpha male. Like, Bailey Zappi looks like he should be in a third grade classroom. He's so little. Like, and Mac Jones isn't it, but also just like the issues that the team has been shooting themselves in the foot with on like special teams even, and all of the penalties and like, it's such a disaster in every phase of this game right now that I'm like, I almost feel bad for Belichick and like would love for him to in a weird way, like, get another shot somewhere else.
And you know what? Well, somewhere else, obviously, that would be one way to do it. And I mean, listen, Vince Lombardi ended somewhere else, I believe, with the Redskins. Like, yep. No, very rarely do you just end where your glory goes down. Part of me wants to say I'm surprised when I hear, and I know a lot of Patriots fans as well, I went to school up in Boston, and you know, everybody kind of wants Bill out and everybody wants to flush the whole thing. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, how could you be so kind of cold blooded? All the glory that guy gave you. But I'm also a Yankees fan. And I remember them coming for Joe Torre the same way back in the day to get him out of town once the championship started to dry up a little bit. Like, that winning breeds like this need for more winning. And then when the losing starts, it's a really nasty thing. So it's kind of a tough. And nobody really is going to feel bad for Patriots or their fans. But it really is a tough come down to be high that long and then suddenly be this low.
Be so at the floor, yeah.
Yeah, you're taking it very well, Eric. And it does not surprise me. That's just the woman that you are.
I feel for players more than I ever have. Like, especially, you know, the past two seasons being so, you know, involved with the Rams and seeing these guys every day and like what they actually like put themselves through, win or lose every week. Like, you know, you hear those sort of cliches, like, we just got to keep stacking building blocks and what, but like they do, they go back out and they keep showing up and they keep, they're just killing themselves to like play and also put, you know, stuff on tape for them, for their careers and everything. And so to hear like these Steelers fans booing the team that first half, I'm sitting on my couch like, oh my God, but like they're trying so hard.
Oh,
like,
you're too close now.
Yeah, I'm like, but they're working so hard. And I was also like, screw the Pats. Like, come on. Like, you could get a franchise QB with that second overall pick, and then they're going to blow that too.
Oh, boy. Funk said he has something for Belichick from the post game. Let's check it out. Check it out on YouTube, everybody. That, who did he just do that? He just had celebrated like a cool guy.
He like dapped him up, but he looked really sad too.
It's a good night. It's a good night for Bill. And it's been a bad year. Mark, the floor is yours.
Well, Ricky, I would ask you a question. Outside of, you know, with your Rams employment, you have told me some stories where you've been like in the coffee room and like there's a bunch of Rams players come in. Like, who's like who is your favorite player to hang out with? Like, who's like the guy that we would be like surprised, maybe just like the coolest dude of them all?
And conversely, who sucks? Go ahead.
Yeah, like we
okay,
need,
so
we need,
sucks.
Like,
I have a top ends. 10. No. Yeah. No one really sucks. There's some that are way more down the clown than the others. I know there's been so much talk about this Rams rookie class, but they are so fun and they haven't like been beaten down by the world and like agents haven't got their claws in them yet and stuff too. So like all the hype about like Kobe Turner, the conductor, is like the sweetest guy on planet Earth. So funny, like wants to do everything, is like singing around the corners and, you know, just like through the halls. And Puka is like the sweetest guy to ever step on planet Earth. And like, it's so fun to see their innocence because they're just so excited to be here and they're not like beaten down yet. So like this rookie class has been so much fun.
How much
is McVay cool to you? How about that?
Yeah, he's great. Yeah, we dap like me and him and Belichick, like in that video we walked by. And
okay,
he's like, "Who is she?"
How often do you have like contact with him? Are you guys like in the commissary together? Like, how does this work?
Yeah, well, our corporate office for the Rams, we're moving to Woodland Hills at the end of this season, which will be, you know, the whole new complex that they're building. But right now, the corporate office is separate from the facility, so. My studio is at the facility, so some days when I'm at the practice facility, that's when I'll see the players. Or like Steve Avila, the left guard that we drafted, like came into the corporate office just to like bring us donuts last week because he was just like, oh, well, where are they? Like, I want to like just they're just so nice. Like, they're so nice. I can't say enough.
I have a question for you, Erica.
Yes.
You know us. You know very us, well. Like. Nobody else in that building. You know, Funk's starting to try to edge his way into the inner circle. He's doing a great job with it. But Erica was in deep. She was embedded. I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
That felt like vaguely confrontational with Randy. Randy, you know I love you.
I'm like, wait, where is this going?
I don't know. Erica, what if...
I'm so happy Greg's not here, of course. Why would you even have to ask that? Like, this is my ideal show.
Greg included, what would the ATN guys be doing if they weren't NFL media employees/podcasters?
Yeah. So I was thinking about this earlier today, and it's so funny because like any odd random job that I would come up with, like Mark has already done, you know, like the text message of him, like with a private investigator, you know, with the crazy stories that you have. Like, I was like, it needs to be something eclectic, but also something like I kind of see Mark as like a park ranger who like 9 to 5 when he's done, like gets to just experience the wilderness in whichever way he chooses to do so. You know what I mean? Like, he's very much one of those park rangers that's like, hey, kids, like, you're drinking around a fire. Like, put it out. If you give me a beer, I'll let you keep it up. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I see. I think, like, underage drinking. Yeah.
Mark, yeah. Like, he would just be like, yeah. Oh, okay, cool. Like, you know, give me that doobie, kid. That's what your age says.
Hand
right?
over the doobie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah, I certainly wouldn't.
That's what boomers say.
I wouldn't stop like the campfire drink fest. I'd probably, you know, find a way to like keep other rangers or various like, authority figures away from it, you know?
Yeah, and we get like weird, ominous texts from Mark. Like, I was on a horseback, like searching Yellowstone, where like a young maiden was locked under a boulder, and I like helped her. Like, I just feel like that would happen.
You know,
that's my answer.
You know me.
That's you would be like the park ranger version of Amy Poehler's character in Mean Girls. Who's like, hey, I'm the cool mom. You can drink around me. Just don't go driving anywhere.
Yeah. Dan, I, for some reason, couldn't get you out of my head as, like, if you went the alternate route and was, like, sort of like a stockbroker in New York City, but not the one where, as bad as you are at math, like, the personality hire where it's like, oh, Dan, like, he can't add for shit, but he closes every deal because he's like, you're like the closer. Like, you would come and, like, Dan's, like, loosening his tie on Wall Street after the long day, and they're like, hey, I don't know how he does it, but, like, you bring Danny in there and he closes the deal. Like,
it's like, he's, you know, he's mentally challenged, but he is charismatic as hell.
Yeah, he can talk to anyone. We bring him in, we get their guard down low, and then he strikes. Like, I don't know. I kind of see that.
I could say for you, Ricky, I think I could see you as being one of those people that, like, one of those women that becomes a full-time reality star. And you end up, it's like you look 15 years later, you see a woman on some show, and then 15 years later, she's on some other show, and they're like, oh, wow. And then you check, like, her Wikipedia, and she's never stopped being on different reality shows, and she's fairly well-known in the medium. I see you as, like, a high-level difference maker.
Professional
whenever,
reality
like, a reality program needs somebody that, like, kind of, like, the straw that stirs the drink, they dial up Ricky.
Yeah. I don't know if I take that as a compliment or a insult. But I think that's great. I think – do I have all, like, the work done and everything, too?
Yeah, ton of work. Lots of Botox. Yeah, just kind of a mess. Almost unrecognizable. I mean, in my defense, your description of my other life, I'm like wearing a helmet full time. So,
I mean, so is Mark. Greg, I think, would literally be coaching tennis like at like a random podunk town. Podunk? What's the word? Say?
Yeah, podunk. Interesting.
Yeah, podunk. I could see that. Like with Ricky, like one thing, I had the chance to go on like one of these like 2-day cruises not too long ago, but like, what happens is, like, the cruise
in the
director,
middle of football season?
Well, Erica, no, it was like...
Erica, like, Mark is going on cruises, like, all the time now. And no, Greg and I are always like, he loves cruises so much. And he goes on cruises at odd times where the weather is bad, where he's going. He, like...
What?
He takes rickety old boats into, like, storms. And he enjoys it because he keeps doing it.
Well, wow. Hold on. Some of that is not accurate. I've been on two short ones, like... They are like 3 days.
You've
day
been
deals.
On two cruises.
Yes, I went with some friends.
In the last increment of time here?
But if you live in LA, they're very affordable. Like, actually, you can find these deals where it's like they're super insanely affordable. But like, let me tell you something. Like, on these ships, okay, they have like the cruise director who you think they're just like there as to like shake hands, but they're like singers and dancers, and they get up and do these shows in front of everyone. I was always like, I could see Erica being like this, where like you're just on this cruise like nonstop.
Wow.
And you I think you'd be great at it. Like, I do. I could see it incorporating many aspects of your, you know, versatile talent.
It's like, Eric, you didn't make it in show business. Here's life on an old
literally
boat.
Yeah, everyone that like can't make it as a comedian or a singer, they're like, yeah, but I got booked on Princess Cruises for the 6 month like contract.
Well, I see where you're coming from, but I found them to be the one that I encountered seemed to be a talented person. So,
and in fairness, that's nice. A lot of people, that's where they get their start.
Yeah
You're working, and if you're a listener right now and you work on a cruise ship, like, I think that's a great life and I would love that.
Wow, way to clean that one up.
Yeah,
I would.
Cover yourself.
I would, but I just don't understand how Mark's like going on multiple cruises. And I just saw you out, and we met up at a Star Wars bar, Mark and I, recently. And
never that.
There was no talk of these cruise jaunts that you were going on. So it's like a secret
so
underground.
Much else to talk about, so
a cruise underground circuit going on here.
Yeah, you guys are sitting in the Spock booth. I mean, there's no time to talk about cruises.
It's a strange place that we met. There's no doubt about that.
Four seats in the Spock booth, please.
That's not how it actually, I mean, I would say it was a much more, it was not nerdy. I wouldn't say it was nerdy.
What do you mean? There was like, they were like, it was the nerdiest place I've ever been in my entire life.
Space Fighters to 12.
By the way, like, I got a text from Erica being like, have you heard of this bar called Scum and Villainy? That's what it's called. She's like, I'm like, yeah, I've heard of it. It's like up the street. She's like, come meet me there. I didn't like lure you in from the wilderness to this place. So.
Yeah, I was.
Hey, Ricky, we got to get going soon. But how about like old times? We hit a news item before we.
Yeah. Something
and
light.
We should do a little Musso and Frank get together. How about
yes.
that?
Yes,
absolutely. Yeah.
Cestog kind of floated that, and I was saying, oh yeah.
Yeah, love that.
Yep. I like very soon. That.
News item, and this one's a doozy.
This is a jarring right turn for us at this point, by the way.
Yeah, that's fair to say. This broke about, I want to say, right as we were wrapping up our Thursday preview, which you could check out right now. Here is the headline out of ESPN. Bills coach Sean McDermott, : apologized for 9/11 remarks in 2019. And here's the backstory here. And this was reported. This is a big scoop on the Tyler Dunn has his own blog or website called Go Long. And if you want to kind of support Tyler or learn more about this and do both, check out Go Long. But McDermott, back in 2019, told players in a speech to come together and use the terrorists on 9/11. And those that are not aware, multiple jetliners hijacked, and it was a group of Al-Qaeda members, highly coordinated, pulling off one of the worst days in the history of this country. Anyway, used the terrorists on 9/11 as an example, asking players in the room questions about how the attacks were executed, and referencing the hijackers getting on the same page. Multiple players who were with the team at the time confirmed the story to ESPN, while others who were there told ESPN they did not recall it. Here's Sean McDermott. So when this story resurfaced, thanks to Go Long, which I'm sure McDermott is thrilled about Tyler's project here, Go Long. He had a unscheduled news conference on Thursday. It lasted about six minutes. Here's a little bit of his explanation about what went down in that meeting.
Brought everybody together and said this was the goal, this was the intent, and I apologize if anyone whatsoever felt a certain type of way coming out of that meeting, right? That if anyone misinterpreted or didn't understand my message, I apologize. I didn't do a good enough job of communicating clearly the intent of my message, and that was about the importance of communication and that everyone needs to be on the same page, ironically enough. And so that was important to me then, and it still is now.
Okay, Erica. So, and by the way, that is something, that apology occurred that same day or in 2019 because he knew it didn't land the way he wanted to land. That is a crazy explanation even today, because he's still not apologizing or saying that was a dumb idea to ever kind of in any way lionize what those psychos did. Like, but he what he said basically is like they didn't quite understand what I was trying to get across. This is a bizarre story featuring a Bills head coach who's got his hands filled already with a 6-16.
Yeah, it's also 9:11 right now on the clock, which is really odd.
That's true.
As we're recording that, so that felt weird for a second. Wanted to call that out.
Let's just sign off.
Yeah. Yeah. Good night. No, and just hearing that too. The sort of like, hey, sorry if anyone misinterpreted what I meant there. I was kind of covering my mouth watching that presser and some of those clips from that today. It was. I don't really know. I mean, you have to address it. You have to apologize. But I don't really know how you can justify that or walk that back whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely on that front. And I think, you know, he's stuck in a place where there's no real explanation that anyone's going to sit well with. What Tyler Dunn has created in general, because there's a lot more to come with this report. And I think, like, having met him, he's been on our show once. He's an incredible reporter. And what he kind of unearthed about the Sean McDermott experience in Buffalo is news. It's incredible because I think that you've looked at this coach, I have all along, is like they're a steady team. They've been in a Super Bowl window. If anything, he's been a positive the entire time. There have been not a lot of like Sean McDermott anecdotes that would shake you on it at all. If anything, he's sort of been out of the way. But what he started to create with this report is like, he is the problem. He spoke to, I think it was 25 different sources who went to town on what's happening with the Bills. And it kind of changes everything you think about what's happened and everything that's happening right now and what could happen if this season continues on its wayward trajectory. So, you know, this just is sort of part and parcel of what else he reported. I mean, if you, there is a paywall here, but I would say it is so worth reading. It's a pretty incredible, explosive NFL report. You don't get a lot of things like this these days.
And I guess, and obviously he made a mistake and he thought it was ancient history. He came back and we all make mistakes. So I'm not going to bury McDermott here. I will add, just as someone who grew up in the New York area, I grew up about 45 minutes outside New York City. And there's a lot of, you know, joking talk a lot on in the NFL about, well, there's only one New York team. And, you know, the Jets and Giants play in New Jersey, but the Bills are the New York team. Let me tell you something. If Sean McDermott said this stuff and he was the coach of the Giants or the Jets, he'd be out on his ass tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I think he would be done. That would be how big a story that would be. And if he wouldn't be done, it would have been a massive story. The fact that he's up in Western New York, it's a little bit different up there. And I hope he just moves forward, because it's an unfortunate situation and a bad idea that now is being amplified. So, but pretty wild story to just kind of stumble upon.
Just with everything this morning. Yeah, like all the news that was dropping out and like just like the different college games and bowl. And then it's like, oh, also this 9/11 headline. I was like, what is happening?
Ricky.
Yeah.
That's what's happening in the news.
Awesome. Thank you.
Ricky, let's get some plugs out there. Where can they see Erica?
Yeah. Anything Rams related on social. And then I host Ricky's Ram Jam, which is a once a week show. And I think I also, some of my game day stuff airs on KABC weekly as well, too. If you're in the Rams LA area, if not, you know, YouTube and social, check that out. It's some fun stuff.
Very nice. Mark, what do you got?
I am not featured on any Ram, you know, centric content at this point, but I support the Rams. I appear on this show the same days that you appear on it, for the most part. Yeah,
very nice. All right, Ricky, this was a great little treat for us. We wanted, and we told the listeners, I don't know if you're aware of this, Ricky, but we said we know Thursday Night Football is not going to be a good one. But we're going to cook up something special to make sure you tune in. You're that special thing.
That's so nice. I miss you guys. I miss the fan base. I miss, you know, working with you guys so closely. And I have checked in to listen to your guys' Rams recaps after the last three wins. So I have been peeking in here and there.
How about that? JB Long is feeling himself. I like
it. Oh, yeah.
I think he said, to the, you know what? I see Long at the barbershop, Jags in Westchester here in LA all the time. Well, not all the time. That'd be weird. But, you know.
Yeah, like how often you cutting your hair.
Yeah. How would you ever see the same person at a barbershop more than once by chance?
Multiple times. Multiple times I've seen good old JB Long.
You guys are synced up.
And he, we're on the same cycle.
Yeah.
He said to the crib in his call, which I was like, that's how you connect with the millennials. I like that.
Yeah. I feel everyone's like, oh, yeah, the Ravens this coming weekend. Everyone's, you know, oh, they're going to get trounced and whatever. I don't know. I got a sneaky kind of like feeling. I don't know.
Do you? Well, give us a prediction.
We'll see. I think that it's one of those teams where the Ravens are looking as just like a, we can put the W column here. And I think sometimes those are the biggest games, you know, any given Sunday. So I kind of feel like, I don't know, anything could happen. I would love to see a win this weekend. It would be amazing.
I'd get off the fence and make a pick.
Okay, the Rams are going to win this Sunday.
There you go.
And where was Lamar today? You know, he just disappeared from practice. What's going on?
Maybe he was heading over to do Ricky's Ram Jam. You never know.
Yeah, he's on. I gotta go. We're gonna record that. Right. I've asked both of you to come on, and you're both too busy because you do what, 30 shows a week now or something.
No, you got me. You called me when I was on the East Coast, but I told you any other time, I'm in.
Okay.
I also want to appear. Like I do have a schedule that is complex, but I vow to appear soon.
Yeah, like are you going to be on a cruise?
Erica, we couldn't even get Sestog at the ATN photo shoot organized by NFL Media yesterday. Couldn't even book him for that for Wednesday morning. It was just Greg and I posing in a room without the third guy. I don't know. Some fakakta story about a dentist visit, and we're just like,
No, it was not. It was absolutely dyed in the wool, accurate, and factual. And, you know, you cannot live it down with this crowd. So.
Yeah, no, I get it, Mark. It's tough. It is tough. I think that's why Park Ranger could be like a third of your life because you're on the third.
Separated yourself, Mark. Just a solitary life in the woods might be the best thing at this point.
She's basically just put me into the final third of my existence. So you know.
Not basically. I did say you were in the third third. You know.
All right, everybody, and enjoy your weekend. And remember, we are on NFL Plus. The Dreamatorium was open for business big time today. So the triple header on Thursday is complete. See you on Sunday night. Till then, heed the call. Bye, Rick.
Bye.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.